This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Man has a tendency to argue a case for his actions, even when fully aware that they are in reality completely unjustifiable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. Man is a witness against himself. وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَذِيرَهُ. Even if he gives himself his excuses. However, the medicine of this Quranic principle, when it is applied to these actions that we try to justify, the behavior is exposed for what it truly is. A flimsy veil used to cover a flimsy side to a person's personality. There is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has installed within each and every one of us that flags sins when contact is made with one of them. And Nawas ibn Sam'an, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said that I asked him alayhi salatu wasalam, anil birri wal ithim. I said to him, what is the reality of piety and sin? And he said, al birru husnul khuluq. Piety is good manners. وَالْإِثْمُ مَا حَاكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ وَكَرِهْتَ أَنْ يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. And sin, listen to the reality. Sin is that which bothers you inside and you hate that people should see it. So man is a witness against himself. Even if he gives his excuses, he knows. I'm going to share with you a few classical examples of this principle, that man is a witness against himself, but how we overlook it. Look, for example, at the obligations and the prohibitions of Islam. A person may come to learn of an Islamic instruction. Let's call it a commandment, let's call it a prohibition, it doesn't matter. And be it pertaining to dress, or finance, or relationships, or consumables, a month of fasting, gender roles, or anything like that. But then this person tries to find a way around the instruction to accommodate his preference, his career choice, her family tradition, his talent, his appetite. And this person therefore starts to behave with this Islamic instruction, as Imam Ibn Taymiyyah said, فَإِنَّهُ يَعْتَذِرُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ بِأَعْذَارٍ وَيُجَادِلُ عَنْهَا وَهُوَ يُبْصِرُهَا بِخِلَافِ ذَلِكَ. That he provides justifications for himself and argues a case for them, whilst knowing that the truth is the stark opposite of it. What's at the core of this behavior? At the very core of this behavior is a fundamental objection to the Islamic ruling. But this person finds himself quite unable to openly articulate this discomfort, and so he masks it with an opinion, which he knows deep down is quite erroneous. As Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he beautifully said, فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ كَمْ مِنْ حَزَازَةٍ فِي نُفُوسِ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ مِنْ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ النُّصُوصِ وَبِوِدِّهِمْ أَلَّوْ لَمْ تَرِدْ. He said, so, subhanAllah, it is remarkable how many people are bothered by many of the Islamic texts, wishing that they did not exist. And then he said, وَكَمْ مِنْ حَرَارَةٍ فِي أَكْبَادِهِمْ مِنْهَا وَكَمْ مِنْ شَجَى فِي حُلُوقِهِمْ مِنْهَا وَمِنْ مَوْرِدِهَا. And how intensely is it that their hearts burn, and how intensely do their throats choke at the existence of these Islamic texts. So naturally, there will always be elements in the religion, right? We're human, that you will struggle to apply due to a weakness in iman. That's normal. But you see, even in that situation, beware of falling prey to the temptation of justifications, trying to bend the rules. Instead, just acknowledge that it's a weakness and that, you know, you're not where you are. You're not where you would like to be in your Islamic journey. And you humbly recite the principle that we are studying now. Man is a witness against himself, even if he presents his excuses. these are the people who are near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are showing Allah that despite their hearts falling short to an Islamic matter, they remain fundamentally pleased with Allah. They're pleased with the messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pleased with the entirety of Islam, with all of its commandments and all of its prohibitions and all of its limitations. But they acknowledge that the deficiency is with them, but they are content with the religion. Then they beg Allah for help in upholding His religion. This is when the flavor of Iman is experienced. When you're truly satisfied with the religion, even though you may naturally not be able to uphold every part of it. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَبِيًّا. Whoever is satisfied with Allah as his Lord, and is satisfied with Islam as his faith, and is satisfied with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his messenger, will taste the flavor of Iman. So that's the first category of people who really should remember this principle. When you are approached with the Islamic prohibitions or obligations, the second are whom I call the fault finders. Now, when I say the fault finders, I'm not suggesting that we need to suspend the enjoining of good and forbidding evil under this guise of, you know, focus on your issues and don't judge other people. No, I am casting blame here at the fault finders who actively seek out the failings of people, and maybe, you know, experiencing this subtle rejoice and happiness when they discover it. But then when we talk about their issues, they're deaf, dumb and blind to their own catastrophes. This indeed is one of the starkest signs that Allah could be forsaking a person. As Bakr ibn Abdullah al-Muzani, he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الرَّجُلُ مُوكَالًا بِعُيُوبِ النَّاسِ نَاسِيًا لِعَيْبِهِ فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُ قَدْ مُكِرَ بِهِ. If you see a person who all he ever does is find the faults of people whilst having forgotten his own, then realize that Allah is plotting against him. So if we apply this principle wholeheartedly, let me ask the question and ask you the question: what is the very first fruit that this principle causes to blossom in a person's life? The answer is repentance and immediate change. Because the one who humbly confesses that he is indeed a witness against himself, even if he presents his excuses, will cast aside all of the futile justifications for personal shortcomings, and they will dismiss all of the cover-up pursuits of erroneous opinions, and they will meet head-on their faults or their qualms with revelation. They will tackle them one after the other till that person's soul surrenders at the doorstep of servitude. Because paradise cannot be accessed without tawbah, repentance. And repentance cannot be arrived at without humility. And humility cannot be arrived at in the absence of this principle, to be a witness against yourself. So it all starts there. It all starts with looking at yourself in the mirror and acknowledging your faults and putting aside justifications and excuses. Just to leave you with this, I want to relate an amazing case study of this principle in action from the life of the great Imam Ibn Hazm rahimahullah. And far from ignoring his own faults, let alone trying to search for, you know, grounds for them, he targeted them in an immense display of honesty, and he created a plan for each and every one of his deficiencies. Listen to what he said. He said, I had many faults, which I treated with a huge effort by reading the statements of the prophets and the wise men from the past and the present, and with respect to manners and etiquettes. He said, I struggled against myself in trying to cure it till Allah allowed me to overcome it and the majority of my problems as well through His assistance and kindness. And then he says, listen to this. He says, فَمِنْهَا كَلَفٌ فِي الرِّضَى. One of the problems that I isolated and I identified in me was a huge difficulty that I had in apologizing to friends when I made a mistake. I hold grudges and I cannot overcome it. He said, وَإِفْرَاطٌ فِي الْغَضَبِ. And I had huge anger issues. And by the way, if you go through the early works of Imam Ibn Hazm, you will see that there's rage, especially in his early writings. How did he treat it? He said, so I continued remedying them till I learned how to not exhibit my anger in speech and actions. And I also taught myself to stop defending it in the impermissible ways. He said, وَتَحَمَّلْتُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ ثِقْلًا شَدِيدًا وَصَبَرْتُ عَلَىٰ مَضَضٍ مُؤْلِمٍ كَانَ رُبَّمَا أَمْرَضَنِي. And this struggle against my bad habits caused me huge agony, but I exercised patience despite the pain, which at times made me ill. He said, other issues I had was self-admiration. I thought so highly of myself. So a debate took place between my rationale and my soul, where my faults were discussed, till all of the self-admiration disappeared, without a trace remaining, alhamdulillah. He said, in fact, I've forced my soul to belittle itself and to employ humility. He then concludes by saying, Wallahu al-musta'anu ala al-baqi, and I ask Allah to help me rid of the rest. So ignoring this principle today, this evening, of man is a witness against himself, even if he gives his excuses. Ignoring this principle is essentially the choice to do what? To carry forward your flaws into the next day or into your next relationship over and over again till the brick wall of a harsh reality is collided with. And that will happen either in this world, and it will definitely happen in the hereafter if not treated before that. So make a decisive decision to remove those veils of excuses for good. Then start your research into how they are to be treated. And beware of surrendering to the fallacies of, this is simply who I am, or I've just been raised upon this all my life, or I could be a lot worse. No, the day of judgment will bring with it relentless realities that will crush all excuses. And so the intelligent one crushes these excuses well in advance of that day.
وبالحق أنزلناه وبالحق نزل وما أرسلناك إلا مبشرا ونذيرا وقرآنا فرقناه لتقرأه على الناس على مكث ونزلناه تنزيلا